654 or 654-7627 on the Adams Roofing text line.
You know, Great White, once bitten, twice shy, feels appropriate after the last hour here on the station, listening to Clemson fans vent frustration. You know, I was once bitten and now I'm twice shy.
You know what?
And I understand.
You know what this is? I think I've nailed this. I think Clemson fans need, you know how I have to do Face ID and put in a password and then get a code sent to my email and text message, and then somebody has to call my mom to let her know it's me before I can log into anything on my phone?
Mm-hmm.
Clemson fans need 17 permission structures to actually think that this team's not going 0-12. There is something inside you that thinks this thing is going to crash, and I need 17 permission structures for you to tell me that there's reasonable expectation that this isn't going to be the worst thing I've ever seen. I don't know exactly where that comes from, but that's definitely what this is. Because we have been talking about big picture clips of football stuff for 5 years. 5 years! And we're still talking about it. We're still having these discussions. We're still doing it. We're a week out from a game from the next season. We might talk about it some more from Will Vannevort. Who knows what might happen when we get together. At Steeler Will on Twitter, ClemsonSider.com, the Believe Podcast Network. Willie V, what's up, man?
Oh, man, nothing much. Just, listening to the nice song there. Ben bringing us back to our late 80s, early 90s days of big hair music. It's always good. So, you know, it's always fun. And then just, you know, it's like, man, you read our message boards and people on Twitter, Quark, they're just, you know, season's over.
Yeah.
Don't even play the game.
Yes.
You know, that's kind of what I'm getting. No matter what platform I'm on, whether it's at the website or on the podcast or just listening to the radio, it's just like, it's over.
You
might as well just go.
You know, Will and Quark, after doing this for 20 years, you've heard of this, the stages of grief. It's the stages of fandom during the off season, and I witness it every year where you're down at the end of the season, and then you become more and more optimistic throughout the summer, and then you get to where the game becomes real and you're 10 days out from the first game, and then you come back down to reality a little bit and you have that panic. It happens. Listen, we've seen it with other fan bases every season, and it's funny how that works every year.
It is, and it's just, you know, I remember even in the national championship seasons after they, they lost to Pitt, it was just like, oh, it's over. We suck. We're not going to win another game.
Wait a minute. That was Will Vannevort. I remember we went to Pizza Hut. Do you remember this? We went to Pizza Hut that night.
He's
and
calling
I was
him
like,
out?
Oh, yeah. We were at Pizza Hut after the game. And I was like, well, Michigan's down. And Will Vannevort's like, oh, they're not going to lose. They're not doing that. There's no way. There's no way. And everybody lost that needed to lose. And Clemson dropped like one spot. It was amazing. That was a Will Vannevort direct quote from that night.
That was a crazy, crazy couple hours there. But, yeah, we were, you know, we were all kind of disappointed because Clemson played the national championship before. We were looking forward to them possibly getting that opportunity again. And, listen, as a journalist, you love covering stuff of that nature. And, you know, I always tell everybody, everybody's like, oh, you journalists, you love it when they suck because then you can write all this bad stuff. I'm like, no, that's not the case. It's the exact opposite. We love the form to win. We want our job to be easy, not hard. You know, when they're losing, it's hard. And so, like, that night, I remember, yeah, it was, like, so disappointing because you're like, okay, that's it. It's over. But then the field goal, Penn State makes the field goal and beats Ohio State, and it's back on again, you know. And like you said, they didn't even drop hardly in the polls after that because it's such a crazy night. What a crazy day that was.
That was awesome.
But I just remember, though, how, you know, like when Clemson barely beat Syracuse back in 2018, it's like, well, look at this. They can't even beat Syracuse. You know, they barely beat Syracuse. It's over. You know? And then what did they do after that? They destroyed everybody.
They did.
So that's just fan base. That's how fans are. And I'm that way with the Steelers. I'm that way, you know. I've already, you know, I think when Mike McCarthy got hired, I said we'd go 4-13. I then moved it up to 5-12. I'm now at 8-9. So I'm kind of talking myself into maybe we make the playoffs and win the division. So it's fans. That's what we do.
I know it's not going to be 9 because 9 win Mike Tomlin. We've had this conversation. Like, if the Steelers are over 8.5 with Tomlin, you might think they're winning 2, but they're going to get to 9. Like, they were going to get to 9 like every year. I have no such feeling about McCarthy. Not even a little bit. You know what I love? I was reading some stuff, and they're like, oh, McCarthy's going to be hesitant to use his running backs in the passing game. I'm like, well, Aaron Rodgers can't throw it more than 5 yards. So is he throwing it to receivers who run over there and stand? Like, now, what's that about?
Now, to Aaron Rodgers' defense, he can throw the ball 60 yards. You know, he did that several games last year. But he can't run the ball 5 yards.
That's a really good point.
Yes. He can throw it fine. He can still throw it on a rope. He just can't run. So he's a statue standing back there, and we got a horrible offensive line. Let's don't digress into the Steelers though. Let's go.
Let's go. Let's talk about Clemson going to LSU. Let me ask you this. We had some pretty dire commentary, and honestly, I have major questions about this team. What is the thing that you're most excited about with Clemson going to LSU next week? Like a matchup or a player or an aspect of the game?
Yeah, I'm interested to see what Lane Kiffin does, if he's there, by the way. I don't know. The NCAA could suspend him, considering he technically was tampering.
Yeah, right.
Tampering with NFL coaches. God. I mean, it's a rule. There's a rule out there. Somebody out there, I don't know if it was Ross Dellinger or somebody or Pete Dammel, but there's a rule, like, in place, like, you know, if you go against the NCAA, basically you're going against its rules and stuff, and you're outwardly doing it, then you could be suspended. And so, like, wouldn't that be something if the NCAA suspends Lane Kiffin for the game? Now, I don't think that's going to happen, but it'd be something. Why not, right? What I'm looking forward to, though, is if Lane Kiffin actually, you know, looks at X's and O's and says, okay, where can I beat Clemson? And he actually does it. In other words, just run the football up the middle. You know, don't spread Clemson out, because Clemson's team speed and Clemson's secondary is going to be able to match up with a spread look that LSU would give them. If I'm LSU, I just line up in a 12 personnel or, you know, 13 personnel, and I'd run the football. That's what I'd do if I was LSU. So that's kind of what I'm interested to see, is what LSU, how LSU attacks Clemson. Because right now Clemson is hurting on the defensive line, walking, especially at defensive tackle. And I mean, you're one starter going down to where, like, you got, like, true freshmen playing that position in a big-time game like that.
All right, what if I said this, okay? What if I said that in 11 years in college football, 4 as a defensive coordinator and 7 as a head coach, that last year was the best run defense that Tom Allen had, considerably better than any of his previous defenses in terms of rushing yards allowed per game, and then his previous low in terms of rushing yards allowed per carry was in 2015 at USF. They allowed 3.7 yards per carry. Last year, 105.5 a game, shout out, and 3.5 per carry. I think they're going to stop the run. That might be my craziest take. Like, I really don't care. I am blindly assuming that Tom Allen is going to stop the run. Is that crazy, given the personnel issues up the spine of this defense?
Yes, that's crazy. Now, the key for Clemson is you just allow them to average. If LSU's averaging 4 yards a carry, you allow them to do that. You don't allow them to run over your linebacker and run for 70 yards, right? And I will say this, and I know people will probably be surprised by this, but Tom Allen came in last year and says one thing he was going to do is make them a better tackling team. And he's kept his word, because Clemson – finished number 2 last year in the country in missed tackles. As far as they number 2 of teams that didn't miss tackles.
Right.
Is what I should say.
Right.
So they were a very good tackling team last year. So if that continues this year, even if you do have an issue stopping the run after the line of scrimmage, if you're making tackles at least and wrapping them up, you're giving your guys at least a chance to make a stop. Whereas you don't want guys getting run over and the guys like getting to the second level, plowing through your linebackers and safeties and taking it to the house, right? That's kind of where you want to make sure at least when you do get the opportunity to tackle, you bring the guy down. But yeah, right now, look, I just, when you look at the sheer numbers and who's playing in those positions at defensive tackle, this Vic Beasley situation was the worst thing that could happen to Clemson before this game. It really was. And that's why Dabo Swinney used the line, how disappointed he was. He didn't say he was mad or anything like that. He said he was disappointed because Vic really let the team down by getting himself in trouble this past weekend and really an area where they really could not afford to lose anybody else because of already the people they had out because of injuries and cancer and stuff like that.
It is crazy how they've lost that many bodies in a position where you couldn't lose any bodies. And they lose another one. Now, let me ask this before we move on to some basketball. Do you think that, in my opinion, count on Vic Beasley to play 45 snaps against LSU? That was foolishness anyway. At no point in his entire career has he shown that he can do that. In your opinion, right, is this affirmation that Clemson maybe should have cut bait in the offseason and gone and gotten somebody else? Or would you have done what Dabo did and sort of re-up with Vic and hope that he figures it out?
I mean, I think the talent's there. He's shown splashes here and there that he could be a dominant big guy if he just turns his focus to it. And maybe this is the wake-up call he needs, right? Maybe this is it, you know. And I don't know how long he'll be suspended. I thought that was a very good apology he put out earlier here today. He seems like he got the court case settlement taken care of, I think. Not settlement, but the court taken care of where he's now going to, you know, he owned it. He's owned his mistake. He's going to get an opportunity to clear his record and get that taken off. That's awesome for him as a young man. And you hope that these are things that turn him around and get him more serious about, you know, what he could be as a football player. You know, I think they were hoping, Kwok, now I know you said you don't really count on it, but I think they were hoping he would be a guy that would get 40 snaps, that he would turn that corner and become that guy. You know, so now I think you lean on Amir Adams just as the guy they're gonna need to do that, and probably Marcus Strong. And, you know, you're gonna need those guys to be, you know, Pinckney and, you know, Carlos Watkins, and, you know, DJ Reader type guys. Guys, in other words, that nobody saw coming.
Josh Watson.
Very productive.
Yes.
Josh Watson. You need guys like that. They need to be guys like that. You know, you can't expect them to be Dexter Lawrence and Christian Wilkins, right? I mean, you can't expect that, or Tyler Davis or Brian Brzee. You don't expect that kind of guy. But you can expect them to be maybe a Carlos Watkins or a DJ Reader. And if they give you that and they stay healthy, then you're going to be okay. Because I think Strong and Adams are pretty good starters. My concern is what's behind them. It's just a bunch of inexperienced guys or guys that played in small-time college football that haven't had that opportunity to play big-time college football. So that's what's behind those guys, and that's where the concern lies for Clemson and the concern lies with me. It's not the starting at the game. It's more like that second series, that third series when those defense tackles come in, right?
Yeah, 100%. Now, real quick before we let you run, Dylan Hunter appears to be back with Clemson basketball. I know a lot of people have asked, like, what's the deal with that? Has the ACC made a statement?
Yep.
I think if they copy the SEC, I don't think it covers him. I could be wrong about that. It seems to apply to NBA and G League players. What is your sense of this new movement to sort of put the kibosh on guys signing pro contracts and coming back and how it might impact Dylan Hunter?
Right, and what you're talking about with Dylan Hunter there is he signed a contract to play for a European team a few weeks before the first ruling came down, which was the one, I believe, in Georgia that he was a part of.
That's
right?
Correct, yes.
And that's the one R.J. Godfrey was a part of as well. So just talking with several sources that I've done the last couple of days, and it's a story that I'm probably going to run here tonight, but kind of want to see what the ACC was going to do. You know, I talked to some people at Clemson, and I was told that it was really like kind of a fluid situation right now, that they were kind of waiting to see what pans out, what everybody, because they really didn't know what everybody was thinking. But I think from being that the fact that he never went to Europe and actually played, that he just agreed on a contract, I think he's going to be okay and he'll be available to play because of the ruling. Now, what I did also hear, though, is very similar to what R.J. Godfrey's going to go through at Arizona. He might have to sit out four games as an NCAA suspension. So the first four games of the season, he might have to sit out because of NCAA rules. So we'll see if that happens, if that's the case. But that's kind of what I've heard here the last couple of days, just talking to people in basketball and people around Clemson that are following what Dylan's going to do and how it relates to Clemson.
Interesting stuff. We'll continue to follow it. In fact, just follow Will Vandervoort. I'm going to copy his work anyway. At Sheila Will on Twitter, ClemsonInsider.com, and the Believe Podcast Network. Thanks, buddy. Always a pleasure to visit with you. We'll see you Tuesday at the press conference.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Talk to you on Tuesday. Can't believe we're just, 10 days away. Here we go.
That's right, 10 days. Take care, buddy. Will Vandervoort, join the program. Man. Great stuff. Short break. We'll come back. Much more commentary after this.
The Roar's College Football Kickoff Show is back. Join host Scott Reimer and all your Roar favorites at the Southern Weaving Food Hall, August 27th from 5 to 8 p.m. Join us at 210 Fern Street, right here in Easley. The Roar, the Upstate Sports Authority.
This hour brought to you by our friends at Buff City Soap, folks. The bar soap, the hand soap, the shower fizzies, the bath bombs. These are all sort of the level one products at Buff City Soap. But man, can I tell you about the room scent spray? Like, that stuff is unbelievable. I'm using it all over my house right now. I got a 2-year-old, man. Diapers, I smell diapers everywhere, okay? Not anymore. Now my house smells like Narcissist, and that is a better way to live, okay? Trust me on that one. You would rather your house smell like Narcissist than diapers. It just, it is what it is. Also, get, like, dryer balls, all of that stuff. I love the fall scents, okay? I love the fall scents. Love the laundry soap as well. Get your hands on that right now as they're out in the two upstate locations. Shops at Greenwich in Greenville, Hartwell Village Shopping Center in Clemson.
We make traffic a little more tolerable. The Upstate Sports Leader.
That's right.
The Roar.
Tiger fans, if you haven't been to Elkmont, you haven't been to Clemson. We at The Roar have been saying this for years because we believe it. At Elkmont, providing an outstanding shopping experience is Amy and Lee's passion. Nowhere else will you find all the brands you love under one roof. On Running, Birkenstock, Patagonia, Z Supply, Poncho Shirts, Costa, Maui Gyms, Rainbow Sandals, Turtle Box Speakers, Filson, Extra Tough Rain Boots, and the list continues to grow recently by adding L.L. Bean to the Elkmont offering. L.L. Bean is an industry legend known for reasonably priced, quality performance clothing. At Elkmont, it's not just a tagline. There really is something for everyone. Elkmont wants to thank all the Roar listeners for your support through the last 30 years and hope you'll continue to visit Elkmont at the intersection of Highway 123 and 93 in Clemson or online at elkmonttradingcompany.com. That's E-L-K-M-O-N-T tradingcompany.com. And go Tigers!
Trust me, if they could do planes and trains, they would. In the meantime, Pendleton Tire Company does automobiles, trucks, and SUVs with trusted service on tires, lift kits, brakes, wheel alignments, and custom accessories for nearly 55 years. Pendleton Tire Company has taken care of generation after generation. Now it's your turn to discover why folks trust the team at Pendleton Tire Company. Open weekdays from 8 to 5, the Pendleton Tire Company on Mechanic Street in Pendleton. PendletonTire.com.
Hey, Bob.
Yeah, Joe?
Heard something really strange the other day.
What'd you hear?
Well, so I'm talking with this guy at the Vermeer plant in Piedmont. You know, TJ. I think he's an engineer, nice guy.
What'd he say?
Well, he said the people that work here, well, he says, mud runs in their blood.
Say what?
Yep, said it as a matter of fact, just like that.
What does that even mean?
Beats me.
You know, we're talking about Dolly Parton, passed away yesterday. Everyone knows, universally beloved figure. Also today, Tim Curry, who I know as the hotel concierge, bellhop, whatever, in Home Alone 2. He was also in, like, Clue and a million things. He passed away. And I said to you during one of the breaks, we've got Dolly Parton, we got Tim Curry. Celebrity deaths always come in threes. Adams gives me celebrity death number three, and I need a ruling on whether this counts as the third celebrity death. Adams, who is your nominee for the third celebrity death?
Okay, so I got this about an hour ago. American Gladiator star Debbie Storm Clark is dead at 61.
Oh, I remember Storm.
Okay.
Everybody remembers Storm.
Oh, yeah.
I would say no. There was Dale Morris was a manager and promoter. He died overnight at the age of – died in his sleep. Man, we should all be so lucky. At the age of 89, he was most notably famous for the launch of the group Alabama. He was their producer, and then later Kenny Chesney. He was their producer, promoter, manager. Has worked with some of the best in the business. That probably not going to qualify either. But it is eerie how often what you're saying happens, though, where it does seem to happen in threes.
It could be. A texter points out, you know, Hayden Panettiere died last week. So maybe that was the first one. Hayden, Dolly, and Tim.
That doesn't even sound right, saying her name and the same with Dolly.
No, it doesn't. No, it doesn't. There's a lot of people getting in with that. Maybe that's the three. I do remember Storm from, like, old school American Gladiators. That one, notable. Let's go to Jason on the Pratt Injury Lawyers phone line, 654 Roars and Over. Good catch, Adams. What's up, Jason?
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
Yes, sir.
Talk about American Gladiator. It's 7 o'clock Saturday night, 7:30. I don't remember which time, but that was the weekly occurrence for me. Some reason, I guess I was a young kid. Some reason, I got slow. I loved watching it. That way, they're not about three or four years. So, good times there. But, you know, this thing with the LSU and, you know, the new ruling by the conference, the SEC, Big Ten, I think the Big 12 has even came out and made a statement as well. How can this circumvent the ruling? Can you say, what's the legality status? And say, yeah, sure, you can be on the team, take all the benefits, take a scholarship, take NIL. You know, practice, like, all that, but your coach will be suspended, or you'll be suspended, et cetera, et cetera. Do they have the legal authority to do that? That kind of sounds like what they're doing, and I'm kind of hoping that's what happens.
You know, I think that's still an open question, Jason. I don't really know, like, if somebody did try this. And I appreciate the phone call. Thanks very much. If somebody did try this, okay, and what he's talking about is the SEC has basically said, if you try to play an NFL player, your program is dead. We're going to fine you 50% of your sports budget. We're going to suspend your coach 50% of games. And also, Greg Sankey can do whatever else he wants. He has unilateral power to do that. That's what the SEC is saying. If somebody essentially you're asking, if somebody tries to do it anyway, what does that mean for the player? Can they get their NIL and stay on the roster and be suspended, whatever? What does it mean for the player? Can they still play when they're done? It feels like, yeah, as long as you do the punishment, you could try it and do the punishment and then go forward like nothing happened.
Listen, if you contribute to NIL at your school, to your collective, and they give your money that you have donated to them to a player they know is not eligible the moment they sign, they give him the NIL money, that's financially irresponsible, and you need to find another school.
Correct. Oh, if I was given money, I'd be livid if that's what it took. And in no way does the SEC's penalties make it so that we're never going to find the answer to Jason's question, I don't think.
Speaking of the penalties, according to Pete Thamel, moments ago, the SEC presidents did vote to confirm those penalties that we mentioned earlier today. And the vote was 15-0. Yesterday it was 16-0. It was 15-0 today. Do you want to take a wild guess Which school abstained from voting?
I'm sure LSU has a conflict of interest. Like, as the first accused party, LSU's like, oh, I thought we were voting at 3. Oh, man. Oh, gosh darn it.
The president was like, look, there's Louisiana Mafia at my house with my wife right now. I cannot vote.
I mean.
Allegedly.
We're not. Listen, alleged, but haven't we all painted that picture in our minds, though? I mean, that's the way it goes. Let's go to Seminole Ted, who's up with us next. Pat Andrew Lawyers phone lines. What's up, Ted?
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I'm not going to talk Noles today. I'm going to talk Braves. What a key win last night against the Dodgers. A must-have win. And I think with Sale going on Thursday, we got a good shot of winning this series against the Dodgers. I told you before, I'm not scared of the Dodgers. I'm not scared of Milwaukee. I think that this team is built to win. It just, everything has to play right, and we can't go cold on the bats. Just my thoughts on that. I'll take it off the air. Y'all have a good one.
Thanks very much, Ted. Appreciate the phone call. Ben,
Brewer series exempt from what I'm about to say. The Braves do seem to play up to the level of their competition a lot of times, and it felt like that last night. Last night, to me, felt like a postseason type game. Did it not have that feel?
Yes. The Brewers are a team. I said this yesterday. I'm going to keep saying it. I said it Monday. I'm going to keep saying it. You cannot make sweeping declarations after your team plays the Brewers in a regular season series, because they make you want to kill yourself once an hour. They will do something, or you will do something, that will make you want to absolutely bust your TV with 1,000 hammers. It's like that. I'm not scared of them in a postseason series, because those are short series. You can't just pitch every pitcher 2 innings like the Brewers try to do. Now, they do have Mizorowski now, which that's the best arm that they've had in quite some time as a frontline starting pitcher. But beyond that, they have to piecemeal 9 innings together. When you are playing your best, and you have to play your best because it's postseason, you'll beat the Brewers. I disagree with Ted about the Dodgers. I think the Dodgers have plenty of organizational depth and wherewithal and resources to crank it up a notch when the going gets tough. But the game that the Braves won last night, where they get after Glasnow, then he settles in, they kind of took on water for a little bit, but they made some great defensive plays, batting down the hatches, they score the run, sort of manufacturing runs with nothing but singles until the Olsen double. That's the way you beat the Dodgers in a playoff game.
It would help if Freddie Freeman were to go 0-for-5 again tonight. He comes to the plate, no outs in the top of the ninth last night with Shohei Ohtani standing on third, and you just knew he was going to tie the game. One way or the other, even with a sacrifice and struck out. You're fortunate that Freddie had a bad night. I would almost guarantee you that he won't go 0-for-5 tonight. I was reminded, and thankful for the win. It was a good game, but the top of the Dodgers lineup is ridiculous, with Ohtani and Freeman and Betts and Muncy and you keep going. I mean, Edmund and Tucker. Oh my gosh. I'll stop after Edmund, but still,
highly paid six hitter, Kyle Tucker.
This is the truth. I'm watching that at the end of the game last night, top of the ninth. Ohtani leads off with a triple on a ball that should have been caught. They didn't rule that an error. I would have ruled that an error. If it basically in the web of your glove, that's an error.
Yes.
In Major League. I'm sorry, it just is. Regardless, and I'm already in my mind formulating the plan to add up the payroll of the players that were going to beat Atlanta last night, because I expected it to be those 4 players I just mentioned. Fortunately, it worked out for you, and they did not.
It was real cojones from Raisel Iglesias. Like, when a guy gets on third and nobody out like that, as a pitcher, you're right. That's charged a triple. It should have been an error. You almost have the right. I'm not going to say that because you're trying to win a game. But you almost have the right to go, you know what, if this scores, fine. If this run scores, fine. But I can't give up another one. We can't go to the bottom of the night down. Let's just go tied. Let's just, you know, we'll let them put it in play, whatever. Iglesias rose to the occasion so big last night in that spot. Again, with those guys coming up and that – Otani's not slow. With him standing on third base, any ball in play, even infield in, you're thinking, outfield in, he's got a chance to score. The fact that that runner stayed at third base is miraculous, mm-hmm. and it is a testament to Iglesias' professionalism there.
Without a doubt. And, really fortunate to get the win there. But they did. And it took a lot of, you know, it took a lot of grit to get that. I didn't have a lot of confidence going into the ninth, if I'm being honest. But it worked out, and Iggy was fantastic in the ninth.
You know who else was really good? Bryce Elder.
Yes, he was. And really even good. He even beat the quark curse.
You know? Somebody was real confident on the show yesterday.
You praised the guys were walking out the door last night. Ruined my evening until that final out.
Look, you're gonna really appreciate that you won because I don't have great confidence that Smith-Shawver. You know what I do have confidence in? I don't know what the over is. Over tonight. With Roky Sasaki, who does have a tendency to be a BP pitcher with control issues, and A.J. Smith-Shawver as your two starters, go north tonight. Would be my advice to you.
A lot of offense.
A lot of offense tonight. Much more than, honestly, last night I thought there was going to be a lot of offense, and then it turned out to be a pitching and defense duel in the middle of the game. All right, final segment of the program. Time for a couple hump day headlines maybe when we return.
What's up, everybody? Sam Jones here. Join Ashby Mixon and me live on Friday night as we take on week two of the Tri-County Technical College High School Football Game of the Week presented by Ingles. This week, we're off to Daniel High School, where the Lions will play host to BHP in a powerhouse pairing that you're not going to want to miss. When two of the best teams in the upstate square off, the Roar's got you covered. We'll be live at 7 p.m. for pregame and 7:30 for kickoff, right here on the Roar, where every day is game day.
Low prices, love the savings at your local Ingles, folks. The Carolina-grown produce. I restocked on some produce yesterday, and I just found myself, do you ever walk through, particularly Ingles, this is a kid, do you ever walk through and you just know, like, I can't make a bad decision here. Like, I've just got a bunch of really good decisions. Like, am I going to get this kind of apple or this kind? I can't decide, not because they look bad, but because they look awesome. You know, I feel like I did that yesterday, and it was fun. It's fun to have those options. I got some great deals in there. I told you, I'm stacking up the Fuel Perks points. Yesterday, I got the 2X, and I'm now at 40 cents saved on my next purchase of fuel in the next week, and there's still more to do. There's always more to do at Ingles. Low prices. Love the savings.
The MLB lives here.
That ball is gone!
The Roar.
$1 billion in the last 25 years has gone towards South Carolina students getting scholarships and opportunities to attend South Carolina schools, whether we're talking about the Life or the Hope or the Palmetto Fellow scholarships. South Carolina students are benefiting. South Carolina families are benefiting. South Carolina communities and universities are benefiting from these programs. Would have been a lot harder for me to justify the expense of college without the Palmetto Fellow Scholarship. I've got lots of family and friends that had that, had the Life, had the Hope, and it has benefited all of our lives. It's truly amazing. It's a great way to keep South Carolina talent in state. When you play the lottery, that's what it's going to. It's going directly to education. For more, go to seeducationlottery.com/BETTER and the letter U. Ben, time for the camel.
Uh-oh, guess what day it is? Guess what day it is, huh? Anybody? Julie, hey, guess what day it is? Oh, come on, I know you can hear me. Mike, what day is it, Mike? Leslie, guess what today is?
It's hump day.
Woo-hoo!
Ben, I'm going to just start.
Before you start,
yeah.
Can I just issue a disclaimer, a warning of sorts? In no way do we endorse all of these stories, and I am nervous as heck about with some that are about to be mentioned.
All right, let me just describe a second grade class for you, okay? This second grade class in the Atlanta area. There's a corner of the room called the gas station, okay?
Okay.
And I'm just going to read. This is NBC7 in San Diego who is right at this link, okay, about a classroom in Georgia. The first thing to know about this gas station is that it is not a gas station. There are no pumps, no convenience store, no windshield squeegees. And despite what one might reasonably expect, there is no requirement that anyone actually purchase gas. It is a designated corner of an Atlanta elementary school classroom where students can go when they need to pass gas. It is a fart corner, but in this second grade classroom of Candy Sydney Brownings, the gas station is the area, but the specific point where kids are told to fart is called the Gusty Winds area. So we have the gas station. We have the Gusty Winds area. And you know what? She says it works. She says, quote, I have a very weak stomach, so I cannot take it. And so I was like, yeah, okay, I'm just going to create this little area over here. And you just get up, you go over there, do your business, come back. And that's just it, end quote.
My sister is an elementary school teacher, has been for 20 plus years. She says this is indeed a problem with young kids.
I mean, I see both sides of this. I really do. I see both sides of it. I want to know how you keep the smell contained to the corner. I feel like there's a lot of circulated air that might not make it so pigeonholed, if you will.
Do we need this in? Do we need this in other areas of life? We do not need this. I'm not reading the text line.
No, we don't.
I don't know if we can say that or not.
I don't know if we can. You go.
I don't. This is short, so contain yourself. I don't know if you saw this. I actually saw it on CBS News. Last week in England, police ended a 48-hour standoff with a criminal who. It appears to be a two-story duplex-style building with a flat roof out front. The suspect had climbed onto this flat roof. A 48-hour standoff, Quok. Now, in 48 hours...
On the roof for 48 hours?
What might happen in 48 hours?
Oh, a lot of stuff.
Not related to the story you just...
Are we just saying, you're saying we're in the gas station?
Oh boy, fell asleep. And cops realized that he had fallen asleep, and they just put a ladder up against the wall. They reached up, grabbed him, and just jerked him off the roof all the way to the ground. In the process, pulled off the old boy's pants. He's been up there for 48 hours, and the next thing he knows, I mean, talk about getting awoke from a bad dream. The next thing he knows, he wakes up as he smashes the ground and it doesn't have pants on.
That's a horrible dream.
Insert Vic Burley jokes here. No, really. What a horrible way to go.
That is horrible. I appreciate that he didn't have enough adrenaline from like the survival skill that he just wore down. He just totally wore down after 2 days. We need to talk about ESPN. I don't know where you stand on this. ESPN has decided that the bottom line ticker is going away during football broadcasts. So the ability to look at scores, breaking news, stuff that happened during the day. You won't see it. You will see slightly more of the screen during the game. Where are you? Are you for or against this move?
Oh, I am so happy about this. I mean, finally you get it right. I am so happy about it. Quok, I have a 75-inch TV in my den. I want to see all 75 inches displaying a football game. We're all sitting there with our phones checking other scores anyway. I don't need the distraction of that going across the bottom of the screen. I need my eyes locked in on the football game. I want the whole screen, nothing but the screen, so help me God.
Listen, I'm looking at my phone between plays to see scores. I'm not even looking at if I'm looking at scores, yeah. I'm doing on my phone. I don't need that. You're right. I'd rather see more of the play and then utilize my other devices to check scores.
One of the great things about watching professional golf on TV is most of the time you don't have that stuff. You have beautiful green grass all the way to the bottom of your screen, and you can convince yourself it's there. Not when there's a ticker going across the bottom of the page.
That's very well said. I'm happy that we're in agreement on this.
Quote, it's possible this story is satire. I tried to confirm. I don't think it is, but I would tell you that. In Memphis, Tennessee, this past weekend, D. Caldwell broke into a house, and he was caught rather quickly. Neighbors of the house that he broke into reported to police that they heard screaming at 3:15 a.m. Quote, he picked the wrong house. D. broke into a house where the homeowner, Ray Boudreau, okay, that should have been your first clue.
Uh-huh.
Although he probably didn't know the guy's name. Ray Boudreau is a retired corrections officer, amateur taxidermist, and self-described backyard combat enthusiast. He is also sort of a prepper type. Okay?
This is the worst decision ever.
Mr. Boudreau reportedly has a self-made security system that has what he calls Armageddon mode on it, which features floodlights, a speaker that blasts "Who goes there?" And this is important: the release of Ray's extremely enthusiastic pit bull named Brutus.
Oh no!
Brutus found Derek before he had gotten 6 feet into the building, into the house, and Brutus sat on top of Derek, clamped down until the owner woke up and found the robber.
Honestly, the fact that he just sat on him and didn't do more, the guy's lucky to be alive. Like, you sick a pit bull on an intruder? Like, that's how kids get eaten. Like, honestly, there are terrible stories about that. The guy is fortunate. I thought you were going to say that the guy called 911 from inside the house to help with the pit bull. Like, he told on himself. I just wanted a couple things. I did not want to die today. That is awesome. I love that because you know that Armageddon mode. I want to know how deep that guy could have gone. Like, if we made a movie about this, he would have gotten to, like, the last level. I want to know how many more levels of security were after the pit bull.
A backyard mixed martial artist enthusiast, a taxidermist, and a former correctional officer. We all can picture what this house looks like, right?
Oh, yes. Honestly, it looks like the house you don't break into
exactly.
Under any circumstances.
Bingo.
Like, we're not talking about some bungalow or some, like, easily. Like, this thing is going to obviously give off fortress vibes. Obviously.
Exactly. I'm guessing there's signs out front, you know?
Yeah. Beware of dog being yes. One. And now we
beware of dog and out. Owner.
Texter says, first ever taxidermy robber. Nothing like a stuffed robber. Ben.